Right, good morning, everyone. Anyone else got a warm, fuzzy feeling in their heart this morning? It's so lovely to be part of this family. It's such a privilege to, like that song said, every chance we get, we bless his name, and people coming up and sharing, and it's so encouraging. And like Andrew being spontaneous, you know, with praying for people, and it's just, yeah. I feel really encouraged this morning, really excited. So we are starting a new series today. There's actually quite a lot of new stuff today. I'm going to find this a bit challenging myself. I've got gizmos. I'm going on an iPad. I normally print my notes, so you're going to have to bear with me this morning. Let's hope it goes well. Yeah. It's a little prayer. Lord, please can it go well this morning. So new series. So if you haven't got the email this week, we are starting a 9-week series, including the introduction, on living the fruit of the Spirit. So as you may already have put two and two together, there are 9 gifts that we're going to be looking at. 9 fruits of the Spirit. Sorry, not gifts. Fruits of the Spirit. But we're going to combine 2 of them into 1 week, and included today. So it will be 9 in total. So today we're going to look at foundations. So we're going to kick it off with foundations. What is fruit all about? You know, why is it important? How to recognize it? How does it grow in us? What feeds it? And my prayer this morning is that it's an invitation, that you don't feel pressured, but it's an invitation to look at yourself, to reflect on yourself, to examine yourself. And I'm hoping it's going to be hopeful. You know, hopefully you'll be encouraged by what we'll look at this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, can you turn? We're going to look at 2 passages. And I'll try with the gizmo. Great, this is the first one. So Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26, which I'll read. And then we're also going to look at John as well. So we're going to flip between 2. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the flesh of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So let's turn to John, chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. And this is Jesus talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us, Lord. We thank you for this family, Lord, to be part of this family, Lord. And we thank you that you are at the center of our family, Lord. We are here for you and because of you. And so, Lord, we want you to speak to us this morning, Lord. Open our hearts, continue to minister to us as you've been clearly doing so far this morning, Lord. Will you come by your Spirit? Will you help us to look at ourselves, Lord, and look at your words, and Lord, be gentle to us, but Lord, help us to honour you with our souls and with our minds this morning, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So these two passages are a little bit different. The language is different, but the language of fruit is consistent. So how Paul expresses the contrast between the flesh and the spirit and how Jesus talks about fruit, it's kind of one universal language and it's one biblical vision. Oh, hang on, I've gone a little bit too quick. Right, so has anyone seen the Netflix TV show called Is It Cake? Anyone? Yeah. So what's really amazing about this show is they take everyday objects, and I've picked food, actually, because obviously it's the end of our fast. Don't know about you, but I'm quite hungry, and I like a little bit of food. So I thought we can play a game this morning called Is It Real or Is It Fake or Is It Cake? So I'm going to show you some pictures, okay, and you need to decide whether this is a real object, a real thing, a real piece of food, or whether it's fake. So let's have a look at the first one. Maybe this is your Sunday lunch today. That was very quick. Okay, let's have a look at the second one. Ooh. Let's look at the third. Ooh. Did I go too quick? Oh, there you go. Yes. Oh, should come back. Please come back. If it doesn't, we'll carry on. Oh, it is. Brilliant. Okay, right. So the first one then, do you think it was real or do you think it was fake? Let's put our hands up. So who says real? Well, quite a few of you. Who says fake? Should we find out? It's fake. It's cake. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I don't know how they can do that, yeah, to make it look absolutely real. Right, what about the second one? Do you think, hands up, you thought it was real? The potatoes, yeah? Who thinks it's fake? Oh, you guys in the youth, you're not convinced, are you? It's fake. Yeah, I know. It looks amazing, doesn't it? Yeah. It looks like a real potato. Okay, finally, the last one. The apples. Hands up, I thought it was real. Hands up, I thought it was fake. It is real. Yeah. So, yeah, really good game. But it's a bit more brutal on the TV show. They actually get the knife and they can proper cut it into it. And yeah, but it's so talented. The people that do it are so talented. And what they do is they line it up with three objects and they get people to judge. And it's really difficult to see which actually is the real one, which is the fake one. So hopefully that illustration there is to kind of get you thinking about, well, what's real and what's fake? The cakes, they look convincing, don't they? And they are eventually exposed when you put the knife into them. But appearances can be deceiving. And Christianity's like that, isn't it? It can look real from the outside. But you have to ask the question, is this living or is this just shaped? Is this real or is this fake? And this morning we're going to be looking at fruit. And Jesus says that the fruit actually shows whether something is living or it's fake. But it's also another warning in that the fruit can actually look the same and you really struggle to find the difference between the two. And so we're going to explore that in a bit more detail. We're going to look at what is real, where does fruit come from, what's the evidence of it, and how do you tell if it's real or if it's fake? But we all want fruit, don't we, in our lives? We read these verses and, you know, we don't want what Paul describes as the flesh. We don't want to live like that. We don't want to be jealous. We don't want to be envious. We want to be peaceful. We want to experience joy and love and gentleness. You know, we want love in our homes. We want peace in anxiety. You know, we want patience with difficult people. But when we're squeezed, when things are difficult, when we're tired, when we're stressed, when we're disappointed, what comes out isn't always fruit. And pressure in our lives can reveal the true source. And Paul creates this tension between the flesh and the spirit. You know, the flesh cannot produce fruit. Only the spirit can produce fruit. And there's an internal war that's going on in each one of our hearts. And one will ultimately win. And one will shape our lives. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7 that the fruit reveals how the tree is formed. And the fruit tells the story. The fruit is not, it's diagnostic. It's not just for decoration. It actually means something. There's a purpose in the fruit. And so he also warns about intentions. Like you can intend to be kind. You can intend to pray for people. You can intend to speak to people. But intention is not the same as walking. It's not the same as doing. And so we have to be careful about how we come across, what our appearances are, and whether our appearance is because it's from a true source, because it's from the Spirit, or whether it's because it's something we're trying to cultivate in our lives. Because fruit comes from abiding. It doesn't come from mimicking. So the question I want us to think about and ask ourselves this morning is not do I believe in the right things, but what is my life actually producing? Is anybody a fan of the fly on the wall kind of TV shows? You know, where a camera kind of follows people around for a week. Does anyone watch those kind of things? No? I watched one a few years ago on a Tour de France cycling team, and it was quite interesting, just sort of the camera following them around to see, you know, what actually, it was a bit of a fly on the wall, so you can see what the team was doing. You experience the highs and the lows, and yeah. It was very interesting. So if a camera followed you around for a week, what fruit would be visible? So I want us to think about ourselves honestly this morning and try and self-examine and try and diagnose ourselves. This isn't supposed to be condemning. We're not supposed to try and, you know, upset ourselves, but it's to try and reflect on, well, what's the fruit in my life? How do I show the fruit in my life? And if God does expose that, and you're thinking, okay, maybe there are areas in my life that I want to see more fruit growing, God wants to expose it to heal. You know, that's his purpose. He is kind and he is generous, and you know, he wants to see transformation and salvation in your life. So this morning we're going to look at three parts to fruit. We're going to look at the source of the fruit. We're going to look at evidence of fruit. And we're going to look at outcome of fruit. And these three are a flow. Because if we're looking at how fruit grows, it starts from a source. and we're going to look at that. And then you see the fruit grow, and then you see the outcome of the fruit. So the flow actually matters, and that's why it's kind of in that order. It's not about behavior. It's about how we act and how we do it ourselves in our flesh. You know, we're not trying to gain acceptance from Jesus. It's about abiding. It's about how we become new Christians. We have a new life, and how fruit grows from that. How we abide in Jesus, how his new life in us leads to growth and then leads to the outcome. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So the first one then, the source of fruit. As Paul writes in Galatians 5, I think it's verses 16 to 18, he says, walk by the Spirit. And that's the key. And Jesus says in John 15, verse 4 to 5, abide in me. It's the same truth, but just different language. It's about a lifelong movement, a lifelong kind of growth. It's not individual little moments, although there are moments where we, you know, we experience either fruit or we experience flesh, but it's about a lifelong transformation. It's about a relationship with God. How do we walk by the Spirit throughout our whole lives? How do we abide in Jesus throughout our whole lives? That journey of life, growth, and outcome. And we could read Galatians 5 as a bit of a checklist. We can kind of look at them and go, okay, do I do this? Or, you know, oh, actually I need to try a bit harder, be impatient, or I need more self-control. And we can fall into that trap of thinking we can do it ourselves. Trying harder doesn't, it always fails eventually. And willpower is not the same as spiritual power. Because as Paul says, the flesh cannot produce spiritual fruit. If you think about an apple tree, a tree doesn't strain. It doesn't grit its branches. It stays rooted. It receives nutrients. It has a healthy connection, and then the fruit is naturally grown. And then the fruit reveals the health of the tree. So you can't grow fruit by trying harder, but you grow fruit by staying connected longer. It's about a dependence, not about effort. It's about abiding, as Jesus said, not trying to prove yourself, not trying to cultivate that. It's letting Jesus and walking by the Spirit to cultivate that. And growth takes time. It's a lifelong journey. And spiritual maturity is, it takes time. As a tree takes years and years to grow, spiritual maturity takes years and years to grow in us as well. So how do we reflect, how do we apply that, the source of fruit to ourselves? So things you can think about is when the pressure of life hits, where do you turn? What's your kind of instant kind of reaction to when things get a bit difficult? Do you turn to prayer? Or do you turn to distraction? Or comfort? Or do you hide away? And how we react when we're under pressure reveals the roots. And we can think about that and we can look at ourselves and think, okay, maybe I don't react in the right way. Or maybe, you know, my reaction to that does show that actually my roots need more abiding, needs more nurturing. But we can face that truth. We can look at ourselves and examine ourselves and face that truth because we're loved, because there's grace, because he wants to gently transform us by exposing that in our hearts. So the source of fruit is being rooted in Jesus. It's staying connected to Jesus. He is the only true source of fruit. Anything else is imitation. And being connected to him produces a character change in us. We become more like him. And his grace will fuel our spiritual growth. And fruit becomes the evidence of that. And you'll see the fruit grow. And that's our second point, which is the evidence of fruit. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 20, you will recognize them by their fruits. And Paul contrasts the flesh and the spirit. And the works of the flesh, there's many expressions of it, many expressions of sin. And different translations will have different words. So there's a plurality of sin and works of the flesh, whereas fruit in our lives, fruit that comes from abiding in Jesus, fruit that comes from the Spirit, is singular. It's a one unified Christ-like life. That's where the evidence is. And think about, again, apple trees. Think about roots versus branches. If you're looking at an apple tree, the fruit itself that you're checking for isn't at the roots. It's visible on the branches. You don't dig the tree up and look at the fruit at the base. The roots are assumed because the evidence of the fruit matters. If you see the fruit, you know that the roots are healthy. And it's the same with us. The fruit doesn't make us alive. It shows that we are. It's the evidence. And life with Jesus and a life abiding in him and by his Spirit produces fruit. The Bible tells us that we were dead in our sin. Dead trees don't grow. Grace comes, abiding comes, and then fruit grows. And in Matthew 7, Jesus talks about the difference between good fruit and diseased fruit, good trees and diseased trees. But disease doesn't mean rotten. Diseased tree just means poor quality. I think I've got a picture of two trees here. Can you tell the difference between them? They look identical, don't they? And this is what Jesus means when he talks about a tree that produces good fruit and a tree that produces diseased fruit. Only diseased fruit can be seen by experts. If you know what you're looking for, you'll tell the difference. But they look identical. And so appearances can be deceiving. Somebody who looks like they're abiding, they're producing fruit, looks like they're Christian, are not producing good fruit. They're producing diseased fruit. And you need to learn how to know the difference between the two. And Jesus does warn us about appearances versus authenticity. Is the fruit real or is it fake? And that's a bit like our lives as Christians. As we follow Jesus, we can look at it as, we can fall into the trap of thinking that we're adding this onto our lives. But it starts by transformation. It's the opposite way around. We receive new life and our nature is renewed in Jesus' image. And Jesus does also warn us in Matthew 7 about a transformation, about serving him without being transformed, by producing fruit that isn't truly from abiding in him. And our hearts, that reveals the nature within us. And Jesus is concerned about the state of our hearts. And he says in Mark 7, verse 15, that it's actually what comes out of us that defiles us. So what comes out of our hearts is what shows whether our true nature is changed, whether we have got good roots, whether we are abiding in him. It's not about cleaning up the outside, as he warns the Pharisees in Luke 11, 39. It's about the inside that transforms the outside, not the outside that transforms the inside. So maybe you're thinking, okay, so Am I enough? Am I producing the right kind of fruit? Am I abiding enough in Jesus? And it can be quite hard to self-diagnose, and we can feel condemned or convicted. But it's okay. It's not all about fruit. And we need to remember that it's the fruit doesn't save. We focus just on the fruit, just on the outcome, just on the evidence. That doesn't save. Jesus saves. It's about relationship with him, about abiding with him. The preacher and author John Piper, in his book Future Grace, said this: sometimes people are careless and speak disparagingly of all human righteousness, as if there was no such thing that pleased God. They often cite Isaiah 64, verse 6, which says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. It is true, gloriously true, that none of God's people, before or after the cross, would be accepted by an immaculately holy God if the perfect righteousness of Christ were not imputed to us. But that does not mean that God does not produce in those justified people before and after the cross a righteousness that is not filthy rags. In fact, he does. And this righteousness is precious to God and is required, not as the ground of our justification, which is the righteousness of Christ only, but as an evidence of our being truly justified children of God. So our God is a God of all comfort. And he wants to bring that assurance to you this morning. If you're feeling convicted, he's not holding a clipboard. He's not checking what you're doing. He's cultivating your life. It's about transformation. Fruit matters because life matters. Your life matters. And grace and kindness and mercy from him produces the change in us. It's the assurance of Jesus that fuels our obedience to abide with him. Okay, so the last point, the outcome of the fruit. What's the point of the fruit? Well, belonging to Jesus changes us. The flesh is crucified, the old self has gone. And the point of the fruit is that the Father is glorified by it. And if we have good roots and we abide in him, the fruit is a natural part of that process. Fruit will grow. Fruit is expected. It's not optional. It's often said that there are better Christians outside the church than inside the church. There are many people who show that there is fruit cultivated in their lives. But morality, you know, being good, you know, people that are just born good and they're lovely, aren't they? And they just do things for people all the time and they're nice to everybody. But that morality doesn't mean regeneration. The fruit that you see in their lives doesn't come from believing in Jesus. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:23, where Paul's talking about Jesus being the wisdom and the power of God, the Greeks actually rejected the cross, the message of the cross, as foolishness, because they had high moral standards in their society. They were good people, and they regarded being good and kind and loving to people as like the highest part of who they were. So they rejected the cross because they didn't see that a new nature is the only way to produce good fruit. Only a new life transformed by Jesus produces the fruit that is of any value to God. And this isn't about us judging people. We're not called to judge people. We're called to reflect on ourselves. If we see the goodness in other people, we do need to think about, well, are we being led astray by that person? Is that person influencing us? Why is that person demonstrating that fruit? Is it because they believe in Jesus? Have they been transformed by it? What's the source that feeds it? And it's there to reflect on ourselves, not to judge others, but to look at ourselves, to examine our own hearts and our own lives. Because a fruit that's not rooted in Christ is ultimately diseased, like this tree. It's the fruit that cannot last. It's a fruit that doesn't stand up to the judgment, to Jesus's last analysis. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his book, Studies in the Sermon on the Mount, wrote this about fruit. There is always somewhere in a man who rejects this high doctrine of salvation, a failure to walk the narrow way, and a conformity at some point or other to the world and its outlook. His way of life might look remarkably like the Christians, but if you watch and observe in detail, you will find that it fails. Because fruit not produced by abiding in Jesus will ultimately fail and be diseased. And it isn't about us being suspicious of others. It's about examining ourselves. And God already knows us. He already loves us. And it can be painful to examine ourselves. But being in denial about it isn't the answer. It's trusting in that God knows us better than we know ourselves. And he's never fooled. It's not a question of our appearance. It's always a question of life. It's always a question of, where are our roots? What is the source of our fruit? So when the fruit is produced in our lives, how do we test whether that fruit is any good? You can't actually eat the fruit. It's not actually food. So how do you test that the fruit is any good? The fruit is any good? Well, the test of fruit is always positive. It's not negative. It's not a, do you actually see it? It's not, there's no evidence of there. There's always a set of positive tests. And Jesus said, and he outlined this in the Beatitudes. A test of good fruit is if someone is poor in spirit. Do they mourn because of sin? Are they meek? Do they hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are they merciful? Are they pure in heart? Are they peacemakers? Jesus also warns that humility is the ultimate test. He warns of fruit that doesn't come from a humble heart. And so demonstrating all of these things shows that the source of our fruit is from him, is from the Spirit. We don't cultivate that. He cultivates that in our lives. And the fruit will always taste good to our Lord if we show evidence of these things in our lives. Because he says that a good tree must produce good fruit. If it's a diseased tree, it can only produce diseased fruit. It can't produce good fruit. And a good tree cannot help itself. It's always going to produce good fruit. So a spirit-led life becomes a God-glorifying life. And Jesus came to give us life. And he came to give those who don't know him life as well. At the cross, he took on the works of our flesh. He took on our jealousy and our envy, and he was cut off so we could be grafted into that root, so we could have a source of fruit in our lives. And he rose to give us those new hearts, a new heart and a new spirit, his spirit, so the good fruit will grow in our lives. And it says in Philippians 1, verses 9 to 10, that God's glory is the aim. We are meant to produce good fruit because it brings him glory. It shows that it points to Jesus. It shows that it points that we are becoming more like him. And the fruit points beyond us. It points beyond us to his character and his work in our lives. So over the next 8 weeks, we're going to look in detail at what each of those fruits means, what abiding in Jesus means, and what those fruits in our lives will look like and what they mean. But it's not a checklist to becoming better Christians. It's not personality traits that we need to master. It's about the character of Jesus, the fruit of the character of Jesus that is being formed in us. So we're going to look at love and joy and peace, which is our relationship with God. We're going to look at patience, kindness, and goodness, which is our relationship with others. And we're going to look at faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which is our inner life and how we witness to others. I was chatting to Keith last week, and one thing I didn't really clock, I mean, I know the fruits of the Spirit, and we all know them. They're very familiar to us. But one of the joys of the translation for the ESV is that because they're all in groups, they all have different syllables. I don't know if you notice, the first three are one syllable, the second three are two syllables, the third three are three syllables. Now, there's just a poetic beauty in that and how they've translated that. It's not in the Greek. I did look that up, but I just thought it was quite nice to mention. So this week, I'd like you to try and learn all nine fruits. Try and learn those verses in Galatians so you can say it to yourself, so you can examine yourself. That's a foundation. Don't try and master the nine fruits, just try and to memorize them. And focus on abiding. Focus on saturating your mind with scripture every day, even just 10 minutes a day. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Be quick to confess any sin, anything in your flesh that isn't fruit. Choose loving action to others. Gather with your fellow believers in your community groups and with other Christians as well. And serve with the gifts that God has given you. This is an opportunity to come again to Jesus, to examine ourselves, but also just to come to him and be in his presence, abiding in him and walking by his Spirit. The fruit will come. We change our habits and we focus on him, fruit will come, not by our efforts, but by being near to him. Shall we pray? Yeah, Lord Jesus, we come to you now, not to fix ourselves, not to promise we'll try harder, not to bring our effort or our strategies. We come because you have already done what we could never do. And maybe as we come, you're asking yourself, am I enough? Maybe you feel the weight of striving. Maybe you're tired of trying to produce and cultivate fruit in your own strength. But Jesus, you meet us here. You meet us here with a better question. Will you come to me? You have given us life when we were dead. You have grafted us to yourself, and you have planted us in your grace. So today we come to you, Jesus. Maybe we're struggling in our flesh. There are old patterns that we find hard to let go. Habits that feel stronger than your desire to change. Jesus, you are not surprised by our weakness. And you invite us not to perform, but to abide. Jesus, we ask that you teach us. Teach us to abide in you, to remain, to stay, to rest in your presence. And Lord, maybe there are areas of our lives that we don't want to let you into, rooms that we keep locked, fears that we don't know how to surrender. But Jesus, we hear your gentle invitation. Not to force the door, but to open it. Holy Spirit, help us walk in you, with you. Notice your leading, to trust your work within us. Not forcing fruit, not performing righteousness, not measuring ourselves by outcomes, because fruit does not come by effort, but by nearness. So we choose nearness today. We choose honesty. We choose dependence. We choose trust. Jesus, form your life in us. Let love grow where there was fear. Let joy rise where there's heaviness. Let peace take root where there's control. Lord, we receive what only you can give. We rest in what you have already done. And we trust that as we remain in you, fruit will come. And now as we come to the table to take communion, we remember that this nearness was made possible by your body given for us and your blood poured out for us. We do not come because we're worthy, but because we're invited. We do not come with full hands, but with open ones. Jesus, meet us again. As we receive the bread and the cup, nourish our lives in you and remind us that we are already rooted in grace for your glory. Amen. So I'd like to invite you to come up, take the bread and the wine.